Well, this week and next, we will be looking at the story of Nehemiah. We're looking at a particular theme within the story of Nehemiah. We're talking about tithes and offerings. We'll be looking primarily at chapters 12 and 13 of the book of Nehemiah. But before we jump into those two chapters and that theme, a little bit of background would be helpful to kind of fit the story into the proper context. Looking at the first half of the book of Nehemiah, we want to kind of get a sense of the lay of the land, if you will. Now, but you know, before the time of Nehemiah, God's people were blessed and they were given this land. But in given the land, they were told that the land was conditional. As long as they continued to obey the covenant and obey the laws of God, they would be able to flourish in the land and enjoy the land. But if they failed to keep the laws of God, God would take the land away. And we know in the story, in the history of Israel, that they did that on a number of occasions. I remember the story of the book of Judges. If you remember in that story, many times they fell away from obeying carefully and being faithful to God, and God allowed surrounding nations to take away the land, and then they would confess and raise up their confessions to God, and God would send a deliverer. Well, one of the stories in the nation of Israel was called the Babylonian captivity. Because the people of Israel had failed to keep the covenant of God, the law of God, actually, God allowed them to be taken into captivity. This was actually to teach them a very important lesson, that the blessing of the land inheritance was dependent on their faithfulness to the law. We've talked about this theme before. You know, the covenant of love with God is based on the character and the love of God. The covenant is determined by the character and love of God. However, the blessing of the land inheritance, was dependent upon the people's obedience to the law. So God had entered into that covenant relationship with Israel even before the law had been given by Moses. So, in other words, the law actually followed the covenant. And when the law was given, God told the people that if they were to keep the law, he would bless them with this land. When the people failed to keep the law, God allowed other nations to conquer them and take their land away from them. Later on in the history of Israel, we know there's the divided kingdom, the northern kingdom in the north, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. Both of them had drifted away from what God had for them. And we know from the scriptures that the tribes in the north, the nation of Israel, was taken away eventually into captivity by the Assyrians, or conquered by the Assyrians. And the people in the south also lost the land to Babylon. The city of Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem, they were destroyed. The city gates were burned down. The city walls crumbled. And then God took them away for a period of 70 years to hold them in captivity as the consequences for their drifting away from the law of God. Well, in time, God allowed the Persians to emerge as a world power and to set God's people free, allow them to come back to the land that he had given to them. We read in the scriptures how Zerubbabel was the first one to bring God's people back to the land of Judah. And the temple was rebuilt during the time period of Zerubbabel. The prophets talk about this, prophet Haggai and Zechariah. In fact, what's an interesting little story here is that during this time period when the temple was being rebuilt, some people had remembered the old temple of Solomon, and when they saw the new temple and it wasn't as large and glorious as the old temple, some of the older people who remember the previous temple wept. Well, years later, Artaxerxes, the fourth king of Persia, he commissioned Ezra the priest, Ezra the scribe, to also return to Judah, to Jerusalem, in order to help to instruct the people in the law of God. Artaxerxes also was the one who allowed Nehemiah to return in order to rebuild the walls. In the opening chapter of the book of Nehemiah, we read that Nehemiah was serving as the cupbearer to the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. And he received news one day from his brother traveling from Jerusalem that the walls of the city had been torn down. Nehemiah wept because of that. It was a disgrace to have a city whose walls were destroyed. And so as we read the first six chapters of the book of Nehemiah, we read how Nehemiah comes back to the city of Jerusalem. And he exercises great leadership in organizing the people, in planning the wall, and completing the construction of the walls. Nehemiah faced a lot of opposition. Some of the local leaders at the time, people by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they all tried to stop the work of God in building these walls. In 52 days, Nehemiah was able to construct those walls. 52 days. In fact, we read in the last chapter of the building project, chapter 6, that the local leaders, in seeing the completion of the walls in 52 days, had to admit that God was in this project. God was in this project because they had done so much to try to stop the work, but the work continued. And then we get to Nehemiah chapter 8. Here we read that Ezra, the priest, Ezra the scribe, calls the people together. The walls have been completed, and now it's time to get set right with God. We read that Ezra reads the law of God to the gathered people. They all gathered from sunup until noon. For 6 hours they stood there and listened to the word of God being described. The Levites were also involved in this process because the Levites, we read, were explaining to the people what was being read from the law of Moses. The impression we get is that the Levites were out amongst the people, maybe little discussion groups through the crowd, explaining to them what the Word of God meant, explaining to them the application of those words. Let's pause and talk a little bit about the Levites now. The Levites were a very important part of the worship of Israel, and they will be one of the key elements that we will see as we get to the story this morning from Nehemiah chapter 12 and 13. You may know that the Levites were descendants of one of the sons of Jacob. And when the people of Israel came into the promised land, God wanted each one of them to have an inheritance of land. And so we read in this book of Joshua how the land is divided amongst the sons and tribes of Jacob. But the Levites, interestingly, did not receive a regular traditional inheritance of land like the other sons of Israel did. Instead, they received selected cities throughout the whole nation in order to serve the people. Also, the Levites did not receive a land portion because they were to receive the tithe of the people. That was their inheritance. The inheritance for the Levites was the tithe of the people. See, God wants all of his people to receive some inheritance. He wants to bless all of the people. Many of the tribes of Israel received the land. The Levites received the tithe The tithe was their inheritance. We know that the priests and the Levites both served God in the sanctuary. Let me read to you a few passages from the book of Numbers, which gives us some good information about what God wanted to see happen with his nation, with his community. In these verses, I'm reading from Numbers chapter 18, it is the Lord speaking to Aaron. The Lord speaking to Aaron. Aaron, as you know, was the brother of Moses. God had selected him to and his descendants to serve as the priest for the people of Israel. Numbers 18, verses 6 and 7. God says to Aaron, I myself have selected your fellow Israelites from among the Israelites as a gift for you, dedicated to the Lord to do the work at the tent of meeting. In other words, the Levites were to serve the house of God. Verse 7. But only you and your sons, again Aaron, may serve as priests in connection with everything at the altar and inside the curtain. I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift. Jumping down now to verse 21. Again, Numbers 18, now verse 21. What's being described here is that the tithe is going to be given to the Levites. The Lord speaks, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work that they do while serving at the tent of meeting. And then interesting, we read in verse 25 that even the Levites were to bring forth the tithe to the Lord. Verse 25, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I give to you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. Well, let's go back now to Ezra, reading the law of God to the people. We read as the law is being read and the people are listening to and contemplating for the first time in many years the law of God being read. The people responded with weeping, with sorrow. This is possibly due to the fact that they realized that they had not been doing what God wanted them to do. They had not been following all of the stipulations and requirements of the law. But we read that Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites told the people, this was not a day to mourn. This was a day to rejoice. They were hearing the law. They were being convicted in their hearts. And as we will see as we continue in the story, they were making a commitment to follow the law of God. In fact, one of the fun and interesting examples in this chapter and in this reading of the law is they read in the law about the different Jewish feasts that God had called them to celebrate every year. And one of the feasts that they had not celebrated in many, many years was the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, as it's sometimes called. And as they read in the law, the instructions for worshiping this particular feast, they were convicted. And they knew that that was a time of the year in which they would do this. And they went out and they built these shelters in their yards, in the courtyard, and in the streets, and on the countryside. The Feast of Shelters, or the Feast of Booths, was to remember how God had provided for his people while they were in the wilderness. And that for 40 years, God had given them food. For 40 years, God had given them manna from heaven and water from the rock. And to celebrate that provision from God, every year they were to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. And then it says, from the days of Joshua until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this. And listen to this. And their joy was very great. Here was a people who had wandered away from God, who had failed to keep the covenant stipulations, and now they were hearing the law, they were understanding the law, and they were putting into practice all the things that they had not done in the past, and they were full of joy. Let's go on with our story of Nehemiah. Continuing in Nehemiah chapter 9, we read that the law continues to be read, instructions continued to be given concerning the law of God, and the people responded with repentance. They responded with confession. We read that the Levites helped the people by leading them in prayer and by sharing with them the history of how God had always been faithful to his people, even while the Israelites were unfaithful. In fact, we have a wonderful history of the nation of Israel. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 7 through 37. The Levites, as they were leading in this prayer, walked through the history of God's people. I'd encourage you to read it. It starts with Abraham and brings it right up to the time of Nehemiah. Again, showing the patterns of how God has always been faithful to his people, even when the people were not faithful. In fact, key verse in that whole section is verse 33. And in verse 33 it says, in all that has happened to us, you have been just. Again, this is part of a prayer. God had been just. They had not obeyed the law. And so God removed from them the land, the blessing that went along with obedience to law. God is just. He will hold us accountable when we fail. You have been just. You have acted faithfully while we did wrong. Isn't that still the character of our relationship with God? Do we not still do wrong? Do we still not fail God in so many ways? But God continues to be faithful even while we do wrong. As we go on in the story of Nehemiah, now into chapter 10, there's a great pledge, a great agreement on all of the people of Israel that they were going to begin anew to do things that the law of God prescribes for God's people. We already saw that when they went out and built booths and shelters, because that's what God's word told them to do. All the leaders of the people actually drew up a document and they signed this agreement on behalf of all the people that they were going to recommit themselves to following the law of God. Many items were part of this agreement. There was provisions about avoiding marriages to those outside the community of Israel. There were stipulations about keeping the Sabbath day. But what I want to look at this morning, and our theme this morning, there were also commitments on the part of the people to return to and commit themselves to the tithes and offerings that the law of God prescribes for the house of God. Let's read a few of the passages related to this topic. It's important because it gives us important background information as we get to Nehemiah 12 and 13, which is our focus this morning. In Nehemiah chapter 10, the nation of Israel is committing themselves to following God's law. Nehemiah chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. We assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands. Listen to the language there. We assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel each year for the service of the house of God, for the bread set on the table, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbath, the new moon festival, and the appointed festivals, for the holy offerings, for sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the duties of the house of our God. And then jump down to verse 35. We also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree. Let's pause here just for a moment. Two key words we've seen, and we'll continue to talk about the notion of a tithe and the notion of this first fruits. Two important words for our topic this morning. We're not going to spend a lot of time with them this morning. I think we're going to come back and talk more about these two words next week. But the word tithe, what does that mean? The word first fruit, what does that mean? Well, the word tithe speaks to the quantity of our offering. How much are we to give to the Lord? The word first fruit speaks to the quality of our offering. What portion are we to bring to the Lord? So tithe, speaking to the quantity, first fruits, speaking to the quality. These are things we are to bring to the Lord. Again, we'll come back and speak more on these two words next time. But returning to Nehemiah chapter 10, now verse 37. Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all our trees, and of our new wine and oil. We will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes of all the towns where they live. And then jump down to verse 39. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contributions of grain, of new wine, of oil, to the storerooms where the articles for the sanctuary are kept, and where the ministering priests and the gatekeepers and the singers stay. And then our key verse for this morning, verse 39, the last part of verse 39. And it says, we will not neglect the house of our God. Or the New Living Translations, we promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. They had listened to the law being read. They had heard what God wanted for them. They had gathered together, first mourning and weeping, but then rejoicing that this was a day of new commitment. And they decided, and they signed, and they promised together that we will not neglect the house of the Lord. And one final provision is mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 12, beginning in verse 44. At that time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits, and tithes. The impression that we get is that the giving was so abundant that Nehemiah had to select certain individuals to be in charge of gathering in the tithes and the offerings and the first fruits. And then verse 44, from the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the provisions required by the law for the priests and the Levites, for Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. Again, I notice in that last verse a reference to their attitude. We saw before when they were hearing the law of God being read and they were recommitting their lives to it, they were full of great joy. And now, as they are committing themselves to bring in the full tithe and the full first fruits, it says here that Judah was pleased. They were pleased with the commitments that they had made and with the ministering priests and Levites. And then finally, verse 47. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers. They also set aside the portions for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. Notice, all Israel was involved. All Israel was making this commitment. All Israel was bringing in the tithes and the offerings and the first fruits. It seemed as though everything had been set right. Remember when Nehemiah first heard about the walls being destroyed? He understood that this was a great disgrace. And he went to Jerusalem in order to help, to exercise leadership in setting all things right. He oversaw the construction of the wall. He and Ezra together reestablished the law of God. And Nehemiah, under his leadership, had that law of God become central in the community. The law was read, the law was obeyed, the people and the temple services were blessed. Everything seemed to be abundance and blessings. Under Nehemiah's leadership, the temple and the nation was functioning according to the covenant stipulations. All things had been set right. It was good. It would be nice if the book of Nehemiah ended right there. But something else takes place. About this time, Nehemiah, now remember, Nehemiah had been serving as the governor over Judea for the last 12 years. Nehemiah still was a servant to Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. And so we read that he went back to the capital of the Persian Empire, back to Susa. This is where Nehemiah was at the very beginning of this book. But after serving for many years, leading the people and bringing them back to where they should be, bringing them back into obedience to the stipulations of the law, Nehemiah returns to Susa. He stays there for some time, and then later we read that he returns to Judah. How long he was away, we do not know. But he returns to Judah sometime later to discover that the people of Israel had not kept their commitment to the Lord, and they had not kept their commitment to provide the first fruits and the offerings to support the temple. What do we learn from this? Well, it seems as though the people's commitment to following the law, to bringing in the full tithe and the offering, seemed to be dependent upon the presence of Nehemiah himself. Also, you get the impression from the story that it may have been an emotional response in the moment, not really a long-term commitment or faithfulness to the God. They were caught up in the excitement of the law and the commitment. Sometimes we have a strong desire to be faithful, to follow God's stipulations. We make commitments to ourselves and to the Lord about our giving. We commit to give more, but then sometimes that giving falls away. Why does our giving ebb and flow? Why does our faithfulness to the law ebb and flow? Aren't we happy and fortunate that God's generosity to us, God's faithfulness to us, does not also ebb and flow? Well, Nehemiah does come back and he discovers what had happened during that short time in which he was away. So let's now read from Nehemiah chapter 13. Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah. Tobiah, by the way, was one of those local leaders who opposed the work of Nehemiah in the opening chapters of the book of Nehemiah. He had provided, that is, the priest had provided to Tobiah a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and the incense and the temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and oil presented for the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, as well as the contribution for the priests. Notice the language here in this passage. A large storeroom formerly used to store the offerings. When Nehemiah left after that dedication ceremony, the storerooms were cleared. The people brought in their offerings. People were appointed just to oversee the abundance that were being brought into the storeroom. And now, sometime later, the people had begun to fail to do what they had previously committed themselves to do. How does Nehemiah respond when he comes and finds what had transpired? Let's look now at verse 7. Nehemiah says, I learned about this evil thing that Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. And then verse 8, I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. You know, this action on the part of Nehemiah in cleansing the temple, of setting the temple right again, reminds us of the story we read in the New Testament where Jesus himself comes into the temple and cleanses the temple of the things that do not belong there and calls the people back to the true purposes and the true plans for that temple. Jesus, like Nehemiah, was thoroughly angered that God would be mocked with this sacred space. The people would not follow the stipulations of the Lord. Well, what about the service of the Levites? Recall, the Levites were to receive the tithe as their inheritance. We now read verse 10. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that the Levites and the singers responsible for the service had gone back to their fields. Remember, the tithes of Israel was the inheritance of the Levites. They were not supposed to work in the fields. They were supposed to serve the temple of God. And the tithes that were brought to the temple were to be their inheritance. So if you think about it, the people of Israel, by failing to bring to the storehouse the tithes and offerings, were robbing the Levites of their inheritance. The book of Malachi says that when we fail to bring the tithe to the Lord, we are robbing from God. Here in the book of Nehemiah, we see that we are indeed robbing from the inheritance that is supposed to be for the Levites. And then verse 11. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Why is the house of God neglected? Remember the commitment that we saw the people make back in Nehemiah chapter 10. In verse 39 of that chapter, we read the people commit themselves with these words, we will not neglect the house of God. But then here, a few chapters later, Nehemiah 13:11, Nehemiah says, why is the house of God neglected? What does Nehemiah do? The last part of verse 11. Then I called them together, that is called the Levites, together back to their posts. Verse 12. All Judah brought the tithe of grain, the new wine, the oil into the storerooms. They had committed themselves to not neglecting the work of God, the house of God. They had fallen away from that. Nehemiah was able to challenge them with the words, why would you neglect the house of God? Bringing that same message to us. Will we neglect the house of God? Will we neglect obeying all the provisions of the Lord? Will we neglect the commandments that God has given to us? We'll talk more about this theme and we'll look at a few more parts of the story of Nehemiah next time. But what we see here is that Nehemiah encouraged the people to bring all into the house of the Lord that God had required of them. When they made that commitment, they say, we assume responsibility to do what God had called us to do. Well, here we see a little prodding on the part of Nehemiah. And we are challenged ourselves. Do we neglect the house of God, the obedience to God's requirements? Do we neglect bringing to the Lord, bringing to the house of God, what God wants us to bring? So we'll finish this theme next time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God, even when we are unfaithful. That you continue to exercise generosity toward us, even when we fail to be generous to the things you call us to be. Father, be with us as we consider what it is you would have us to do, as we consider the law of God, and that we walk in your ways, that we give as you have called us to give, that we walk in a manner worthy of your calling upon our lives. We want to make the same commitment that the children of Israel made. We assume the responsibility to walk according to your law. Help us not to fall from that. And if we do, to recommit ourselves. Father, we thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.